When I was a kid, I remember opening up a topographic map and I'd look at a point on the map somewhere deep in the woods and I'd go and find that spot, hopefully. This is kind of the story of something similar, except now I'm all grown up. I'm pretty lucky that I get to go on some amazing landscapes and trips to do conservation filmmaking, but usually I'm always creating something as an end product that will come out later about the species or the organization. But there's a whole journey, a step, an adventure of getting to a lot of these locations, and that's the stories that I want to tell in Mud and Bugs. I'm Greg McLaughlin, and I've been doing conservation filmmaking for 10 years. In this very first episode, I want to tell you the story about going out to try and find one of the rarest birds in Canada and film it as part of a conservation film that I was shooting. Yeah, you've got to get up pretty early in the morning, like 4 a.m., if you want to find species like this. Right away, I know this is going to be a deep hike, so I'm limiting myself to a small backpack, one camera, and two lenses. Like, going lightweight is really important for this assignment. I know, I'm dragging out the suspense and I haven't even told you what the species is. Well, it's the Acadian flycatcher. There are only 50 to 60 breeding pairs of this bird in Canada. And all of them live in a deep forested stretch in southwestern Ontario, exactly where I'm going. Now, will I actually see one on this excursion? That's a whole story that's about to unfold. On this particular day, I'm actually heading out to meet with two researchers from Birds Canada, Ian and Sam Reen, and they're doing some research on Acadian flycatchers, and I'll be tagging along with them as part of this assignment. I'm only on gravel roads for a very short time, then I get onto these sand roads, which are literally driving in sand, and thank goodness I've got my Subaru. So I get there and I meet Ian and Sam Reen, and it's really fairly quiet except for the birds. We've all got our pants tucked in because, hey, there's ticks and we want to be safe. Now, on the edge of this forest, on this sand road, it wouldn't look like any other forest in particular. There's a lot of shrubby plants, some raspberries and things along the edge. But as soon as you take a few steps in, you start to realize, okay, we're headed into an old growth forest. You just have to look at the size of the trees. I mean, they're just huge, and that gives it away. But there also isn't a trail. This is like untouched, almost, old growth forest. Two things immediately come to mind as soon as I step into this interior forest. First, thank goodness I packed a lens that has a really small f-stop because it is really dark in here. And that's just another sign of this being an old growth forest. I mean, you look up and you see the tree canopy and there's not a lot of light coming in. It's just very dense. And even the undergrowth is really dense. So a really mature forest. Now, when I say dense, that's not to be confused with, like, you know, trees and everything. And it's so thick you can't walk through it. It's dense with ferns and other life on the forest floor, which is part of that microclimate that exists in an old growth forest. And the second one is, as I'm walking, like, the distance between me and Ian and Sam Reen is like growing further and further apart. I can even see them looking back periodically just to make sure I'm still there. I will say this though, wildlife researchers, wow, can they ever move fast in the forest? About 30 minutes into our hike, disaster strikes. My project manager loses her glasses. Now, what's really scary is we have no idea where she lost them. She had her glasses resting on her ball cap, and then it happened. A branch smacked her in the head and knocked off her glasses. Trouble is, she didn't notice till hundreds of meters later that her glasses were missing. Now imagine an old-growth forest of hundreds of acres, and somewhere there are your glasses that fell off your head. There's just no hope that we're going to find those glasses. Now I can't overstate how important it is to have all eyeballs on deck when you're trying to spot the one of the rarest birds in Canada. We're still in good shape though, because Ian and Samreen are the experts and they know where to look to find this bird. I'll tell you something though, this is serious bushwhacking to get in to find where these birds are. As far as color goes, the Acadian flycatcher isn't going to win any beauty contest for the most colorful bird. But they really do have their own charm. For me, the only bird that I see on a regular basis that's even slightly similar would be an eastern phoebe on the edge of my forest. The Acadian flycatcher is this olive drab color. It's not very bright and brilliant, which makes it a little harder to spot in the forest because it blends right in. It really likes the deep, deep forests, and it's an aerial insectivore. So those are some of the things that contribute to it being a challenge for it to survive. So it loves deep forests, which are disappearing, and it loves insects, which we know the populations of insects are declining as well. It also loves to nest in hemlock branches, and hemlocks themselves are being attacked by an invasive species. So a lot of challenges facing the Acadian flycatcher. This research that I'm filming today is about Birds Canada doing research on forests, doing surveys to see the health of the forests and maintain breeding sites for these birds, identify where they are breeding and make sure we can save those sites and preserve them. After hiking for about 45 minutes through this forest, through muddy little swamps and thick brush, we stop. And there it is, the call of the Acadian flycatcher. There's just one problem. I didn't see it. Well, I saw something take off really quickly, but I didn't see it. I don't want to sound like I'm disappointed, because sights and sounds of nature is all about the experiences, and I still heard the call of one of the rarest birds in Canada. We actually stood there in silence for several minutes waiting to see if it would come back or if it would call again. The whole time I'm filming Samreen as she's got her clipboard and she's looking skyward to the tree canopy with her ears peeled to try and hear the sounds of the flycatcher. And then I hear an all too familiar sound. It wouldn't be the deep dark forest without our good old friends the mosquitoes. Samreen is looking up at the sky and she's waving her hands periodically trying to keep them away from her head. She's writing stuff down. I grab my camera and I'm filming in slow motion as she's doing that. And that's when some magic happens, at least cinematic magic in my world. As I'm filming, I can see these white dust-like particles, unfocused, floating through the scene in front of Samreen. It kind of looks like snow. After I finish filming it, I remember saying, "Wow, that was really cinematic, awesome." And I think Samreen must have wondered what I was talking about. Okay, how do I explain this now? Do I tell her the truth? I mean, we've just been hiking for a couple of hours to find one of the rarest birds in Canada. And the most epic species footage I got today was of mosquitoes. There, I said it, mosquitoes. Floating past the camera lens, just like snowflakes. And Samreen's hands waving in slow motion. Honestly, it really was quite the shot. It just wasn't what I came here to film. Yep, conservation filmmaking doesn't always go according to plan. In fact, it rarely goes according to plan. But it's always the journey of where you're going that is often the most memorable. And that's my takeaway from certainly this assignment and from every assignment I go on. And that's the inspiration for this podcast. I don't want you to leave this podcast disappointed, though. I'll be doing another episode in the near future that has a different ending, searching for the Acadian flycatcher that you won't want to miss. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed the first episode of Mud and Bugs. I'd love to have your comments down below. My goal is to make this a different kind of Canadian conservation podcast. Please subscribe and get ready for more episodes where I take you along for the journey and maybe even a little bit of suspense when I do conservation filmmaking. You've been listening to Mud and Bugs, a different kind of Canadian conservation podcast. It's about the journey of getting there from a filmmaker's perspective. Subscribe today on your favorite podcasting app and get ready to enjoy cinematic storytelling in a podcast form. I'm conservation filmmaker Greg McLaughlin. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.